You need to call upon the name of who?
Jesus.
Jesus. Get that name in your heart. As children of God, there's nothing impossible with you when you call upon the name of Jesus. Now then, I could ask any health guy, any weight lifter or anything, do you think that you could fall through a 2-foot by 2-foot hole and stop yourself with your arms and when you're falling through that with nothing under you? And they'll all say, no, you can't do that. It's going to break your arms. But man, I'm telling you what, it shot me back up on there. I laid down there, and of course, my nephew, he's a preacher too, and he came out, he heard me scream. He's come out and said, Uncle Thurman, what's wrong? I said, well, Ricky, I fell through this hole. I said, but the Lord picked me back up and laid me on top of it, and he laid the sheets of sheetrock in. He said, well, did it hurt you? I said, well, I don't know. I looked down, and I said, whoa, I said, blood's running down my left leg here in my shoe. I guess I must have done something. So I pulled my britches leg up, and there was that 3-inch long piece, 1-inch wide, plumb to the bone, just laid it off, you know, no skin whatsoever. So I said, Lord, I want to thank you for putting, you said I could ask anything, Father, in Jesus' name. So I thank you for stopping the blood. Then I thank you for healing the skin back to skin from side to side and top to bottom, because I don't want a great big old scar, and I definitely don't want to have a skin graft. Because, you know, when they put a, you know, normally if you got 1-inch wide, 3 inches long, totally missing, they're going to do a skin graft from somewhere. And then I got 2 places to heal, right? So I don't want that. So I'd rather Jesus fix it one time. And so I just told him what I wanted. I said, Lord, thank you, it's done. And I reached down, got my socks, and pulled them back up over the top of it, my white sock, and just went back to work. You know, and so I worked all day. We sheetrocked the house and done all kinds of things. That night when I got home, I come in and my house over here, and I started to undress, take a shower, and my sock had blood all over it. My shoe had blood in it. And I took a shower and washed everything off of me. And after I got all that awful, I thought, well, I guess if I go to bed, you know, with that big old chunk of skin missing, I'll probably get blood all over the sheets. So I thought, well, I'll run up here to the grocery store. It was about 8 or 9 o'clock. I said, I'll run up to the grocery store and get me some of them no-stick bandages, you know, that they got, and I'll wrap that up so it don't stick to it, and put a little gauze on it or something so I don't get blood on the sheets. And so I did, and every night when I come home, I'd wash that off and put a new bandage on it and say, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, for my leg healing back without a single scar. Thank you, Lord, for bringing skin back to skin. You said in Mark 11:23, whatever I say with my mouth, I believe with my heart, I can have it. So thank you, Lord, it's done in Jesus' name. Now, a few days later, my son-in-law, in fact, I guess the next weekend, what it was, the next week, after I had done that, I was at church, and I guess I kind of limped a little or something. One of the guys said, Thurman, something wrong with your leg? I said, well, no, not really. He said, well, I just saw you limp. He said, you did something. I said, well, yeah. I said, I scratched my leg. It's a little tender. He said, scratch it. Let me see it. I said, no, you don't want to see it. He said, well, I want to see it. I didn't have a bandage on it that day at church. I had my boots on. He said, I want to see it. I said, okay, now you won't tell nobody else? No, I won't tell nobody. So I started pulling it up, and as soon as it got above the top of my boot where he could look at it, he said, oh, my gosh. I said, that's what I thought. I dropped it back down. I said, I knew I shouldn't have showed it to you. He said, I got to pray for you. I said, okay, you can pray for me, but don't go around telling everybody I got a chunk 3 inches by 1. He's tore off my leg. I don't want that out. Okay. So he prayed for me. And then a few days later, I was sitting here at home with just a pair of short britches on one night, let my leg just kind of air out. My son-in-law, which works in a hospital, he come in. He said, Thurman, you got blood poison in that leg. He said, I got to take you to hospital right now. He said, look at your toes are black. Look at all that red around your leg. I said, Toby, Jesus is my healer, and he's doing a good job on my leg. He said, but Thurman, look. I said, Toby, I'm a man of faith. I don't go by what I see. I go by the word, the written word. Jesus promised to heal all of my problems. I said, you can't beat a deal like that, can you? I said, he promised. He said, but look at it. I said, but I don't care what it looks like. He said, Thurman, you have blood poison. He said, look at the red on your, look at the blackness in your toes. The blood is not circulating in your foot. He said, I've got to take you to the hospital now or you're going to lose that foot. I said, Toby, won't you go home? I don't need that kind of negative stuff in my, just go home. And so he did. And so I never told anybody else nothing about my leg. And in 3 months, The leg was completely, totally healed without a scar, without a mark, but it took 3 months. God completely, I never had a shot, never had a medicine, never had an antacid, nothing but Jesus. But it took him 3 months. Now then, he doesn't always heal you instantly, but you got to stand on his promises. I don't care if you got pain. I don't care what it looks like. You got to trust him. And we don't walk very good in faith. You know that? It's real easy for the devil to make that little statement. Oh, but look, you're going to lose that leg. You stupid guy, you. This faith stuff, you know that don't work. Yeah, he's real good at what he does. You know that? Oh, he can steal your miracle from you. He can deceive you. I mean, especially when he starts to put a little pain on you. Oh, my goodness. You know how easy it is to get out of faith when a little pain or suffering begins to come up on your body? Y'all all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Oh, I need some medicine. Well, see, if you'd have been like Job, back there in Job's day, he didn't have no doctors to go to. That makes it a little easier for you to walk in faith. If you hadn't got any doctors to go to. But do we have doctors to go to? Oh, yeah, at least right now. We don't have any idea if this thing keeps going like it is, you know. If we don't get caught away from here pretty soon, and we have to go through this health care deal that they've come up with, wow, they ain't going to be, there's going to be a many time you're going to have something wrong with you if you don't walk by faith. You're going to go down like they used to in Canada, or still do in Canada. They go down and say, well, I'm sorry, you need this surgery, but the waiting list is 2 years right now. And so, well, how long can I live without the surgery? 6 months. You're going to experience those same kind of things in America. But that's why people from Canada leave Canada and come down here, because they can get on an airplane, come to Dallas with a critical thing like that, and they can be in an operating room the next morning and have surgery and be out of here. We have the best medical system in the world. We in the church have really got the best medical system in the world. Let's go see. Let's go to, there's that scripture that I said I was going to move. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. That's the one we just went over. These signs shall follow them that believe. The one I was going to was Luke 10, 19 and 20. That's the next one. I want to go to Luke 10, 19 and 20. And look at this statement the Lord told you. Behold, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, who do you think the serpents and scorpions are? Satan and his host of demons. That's who that is. On serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. See, now, of course, he reconfirms that. Over all the power of the enemy. So how much power do you have over the enemy? All. Absolutely right. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits, or the evil spirits, are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, isn't that an awesome verse? How much power do you have over the enemy? All you got to do is walk in obedience to God's word. Now, somebody said, well, what if I don't walk in obedience to God's word? Okay, let me take you to 1 John 5:18. Yes, brother? Yeah, I could have used that, sure. Yeah, you can use, there's all kinds of scriptures, but I just happened to use that other one. So that it worked, you know. So, but this works too. Oh yeah, God give you a lot of ways. He put these little nuggets all through his word. He didn't just put one or two of them in there. I mean, he just took the word and I can just see him now taking these little golden nuggets and say, well, let me just flip the pages of my book and I'll throw these little golden nuggets in there all over the place. So if they read anywhere, they'll be able to find some of them. And that's what he done. And he left them so that we don't have to read the whole book to get some of these golden nuggets, because he scattered them all over the place. 1 John 5:18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, when people tell me, hey, you can't not sin, what did that scripture command? What does it say if I'm really born again? It says I can't sin. Is that what it says? No, that kind of throws a monkey wrench in this stuff about I can't walk without sin, doesn't it? You know, I hear this all the time. Thurman, you don't mean to tell me you think you can go through the whole day today without sin. Boy, I hope so. I mean, the word commands me to, doesn't it? So if it says, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Does that mean use a little foul language once in a while when somebody says something I don't like? No? So that means that I can go out and look at some other woman and lust for her, you know, just because my wife's not here? Does that mean I can do that? That mean I can, I don't have to tithe at church because I can steal from God? Does that mean that? No? Well, I can do all those things, can I? But if I do all those things, what does that mean? He said, I'm walking in sin. He said, if I really am His, I don't sin, don't I? Do I? But see, what that really says, we know that whosoever is born of God does not practice sinning. That's what it really means. In other words, I don't go out and practice it. You know, I might make a mistake. You know, you might do something someday. You might tell somebody a little lie. You didn't mean to do that, but you just found that you did just tell a little lie. Now, does that mean that you're not a Christian? No. It just means, what do you need to do now if you realize you just told a lie? You need to repent. Confess it to God. Lord, I'm sorry. So I'm not going to go out and practice that. Just because I happen to make that statement to this man, that don't mean the next one that comes in, I'm going to tell him the same thing, and the next one, and the next. That's practicing sinning. God says true children of God can't do that. You will not do that as a true child of God. It's just like a man of God that says, well, I go to church, I'm a Christian, but every time you go out there and you're talking to the boys, your language is as foul as theirs is. You know men like that? Oh, yeah, I know men like that too. I know men that are like that. In fact, how much sin are we supposed to have as Christians? Zero. None. And look what it says, though. There's a great attachment to that. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself. You keep yourself from what? Sin. You keep yourself from sin. And if you keep yourself from sin, it says, and the wicked one, who is that? The devil and his demons. The wicked one toucheth him not. Now, is that good news? Yes. In other words, if I don't go out and practice sinning, what can the devil do to me? Absolutely. Now, is that good news, girl? That, when that devil comes up and starts to put a hurt on you, what do you? If you're not sinning, what can you tell him to do?
Get behind him.
Amen. There's a girl that's got it down. You know, James 4:7. Let's go and let's confirm what she just said from the Word of God. We don't practice sinning. Well, let's look at James 4:7 and see what the Lord says here.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Is Any Sick Among You? In its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.